Hey, good morning and welcome back to the LifePoint DriveCast. My name's Paul. I'm the teaching pastor at the Marion campus. Thanks so much for joining us today on the DriveCast. Well, this past Saturday, Christmas Eve, we walked through Luke chapter 2 and just the incredible passage about Jesus's birth. And while it was a familiar passage, I do pray that by the power of the living and active word of God, that it was new in a way to us as we studied and looked at that. On Saturday, I ended up sharing a story at the Marion campus when I was in college at Ohio Wesleyan. Somehow I was given the opportunity to travel to Ireland with my best friend and one other student and two professors on the university's dime and through my payments over the next half of my life. Anyway, so we go to Ireland and we're studying the connection between literature and culture or something like that. And we were getting toward the end of our trip and we were in Dublin and my professors, they're like, hey, you guys can go out to a restaurant, you know, have a good evening. And we're going to hang back here at the hotel. And so we were like, great. So we found a nice little pub, of course. And, so we go into this place and it's a two-story establishment. The first story, standard, and it was full. And we noticed there was a second story, but it was just a balcony. And so we saw an open table. So we go up there, we sit down at the table. And we order, a drink, water. This is pre-Jesus Paul, by the way. Anyway, so we sit down. My friend, soon after that, accidentally knocks over his water. And so some of it spills on the table, thankfully. But some of it finds its way to the edge of the table over the balcony and finds its final resting place on the lapel of an elderly gentleman. And that point is a key point. And This man had with him two sons who were not as elderly, actually not elderly at all, and they were also wearing suits. And in my innocence, I looked over the railing, just trying to see what happened, and I make eye contact with these two guys, and they run up the stairs, and I'm still sitting in my chair, and one of them grabs my, shirt, pulls me toward him, is screaming at me, telling me several creative ways in which he plans to murder me, while the other brother is slamming his fists on the table saying, that's my dad, which is sort of a funny thing to yell in hindsight. Anyway, so thankfully the manager of this fine establishment sees what's going on. He runs up the stairs. He pulls the first brother off who's threatening my life. The second brother sees the first brother get pulled off, sees this as an opportunity, reaches across the table, punches me in the face. He then gets pulled off and they get thrown, thrown outside. And we're just sort of sitting there like, what in the world just happened? Right? Terrifying. And so the manager comes back up and he's like, oh, don't worry about it. They're clowns. And sorry for my bad Irish accent. Anyway, and so we're like, okay, well, he doesn't seem concerned. This probably happens all the time. They got thrown out. No big deal. Well, soon after this, the old man whose lapel had been dampened by the spilled beverage, he comes walking up the steps. And I'm like, okay, this is my opportunity. So I stand up, start apologizing profusely. We're happy to buy you, dinner, whatever you want. I reach my hand out to shake his hand. Instead of grabbing my hand, he pulls out his cell phone. He takes a picture of my face. He takes a picture of my friend and he walks away. And in that moment, it is sheer terror. Again, remember, they're wearing suits. The only people who wear suits are the Irish mafia, right? Like, who else would wear a suit in this type of establishment at like 10 o'clock at night, right? So clearly, we are now on a hit list of some sort. And so in a panic, we call up the manager once again. We're like, hey, this just happened. And his initial response of, oh, don't worry about it, became, I need to make a plan. And so he says, hey, I'm gonna tell my staff to create a barricade. We're going to throw these guys out into the side alley, and I'm going to create a barricade. When I give you a signal, I want you to sprint out the front door to the right, and by the grace of God, you'll get a cab. Okay. So that just sort of confirmed our greatest fears. So he gets everything set up. We get the signal. We sprint out the door. We sprint down the road. It's classic, murder weather. It's rainy, it's cold, it's almost midnight or whatever. And I remember we finally get in the cab, we get back to the hotel, and I had never been happier to be able to close and lock a door behind me. I mean, it was this moment of like, okay, we are safe. We no longer have to be afraid. We're not going to get murdered. And it was just this incredible feeling of peace because I had had this incredible feeling of terror. And the reason I share that story, it does hopefully connect somewhere. If you look at the shepherds who are watching over their flock in the field, they're maybe sleeping, maybe a couple of them are up watching for predators. And all of a sudden, an angel appears and it says, "The glory of the Lord shone around them." And in that moment, there is sheer terror because they are confronted with their sinfulness. They're confronted with their brokenness. They're confronted with their need for salvation. And where this connects is not that God is like the mafia hunting us down, trying to kill us. Rather, God loves us so much, he hunts us down to save us. And I think when we realize just how great our need of salvation is, our joy over the salvation that God extends us through Jesus is only heightened. The way I would say it on Sunday is that our joy for the salvation that Jesus offers us is really equal to the extent we understand we need saved in the first place. And I think that's just such a good reminder in this season that we need to understand that on our own, we are sinners in desperate need of a Savior, and Jesus is the only answer to our sin problem. Jesus is the only answer that in way we'll someday be able to stand in the presence of God and not be in, you know, just wiped out like a tissue on the face of the sun. Like, Jesus is the only answer. And that was just such a good reminder for me this Christmas to focus my heart on my desperate need of salvation and how Jesus is the only one. He's the only answer to that need for my salvation. And so I hope that's a good reminder for you today as you go into your week, just to meditate and think about the greatness of our depravity and how the salvation that Jesus offers us isn't something that we have to work for, but it's something that Jesus worked for. It's something that Jesus did on our behalf. And all we need to do is repent and place our faith in him. It's not a work, it's a heart condition. And what a joy and what a blessing that is. So I want to pray for us before we go today. And I also want to just say thanks for joining us on the Drivecast. Now let's go ahead and pray. Father, you're good and you're just so faithful. I thank you, Father, that you saw us in our sinfulness and in our brokenness. And you loved us so much that you sent your son for us. It's the gospel message. And Father, protect us from never becoming numb to that. We never want to become sort of just flippant about the gospel or numb or calloused toward it. We want to consistently and constantly see the glory of the grace of God presented in the person of Jesus. And it's so good. And so, Lord, we love you. Lead us. Jesus, thank you for being God in the flesh, living perfectly for us, dying on our behalf so that we can have new life and so that we can receive salvation through faith in you. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.